This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
You're listening to Goodfellas Minute 11.
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you care.
Hello and welcome to Goodfellas Minute, the only podcast that analyzes the Martin Scorsese film Goodfellas one nefarious minute at a time. I am Josh Flanagan, and with me is Ron Richards.
Hello, Josh.
And special guests, the godfathers, if you will, of the minute format of Star Wars Minute and Alphabetical, Pete the Retailer.
Hello.
And Alex Robinson.
How's it going?
Hey, you know.
Should I have said something more Italian, Flanagan? I'd be like, hey, how you doing?
We've already begun to toe a line of, well, this is sort of offensive. to do these bad stereotypical reactions.
Well, it's nice that I, as the resident Italian, I'm the one who's deciding what's offensive and what's not. So there you go. Yeah, no, but it's great. For our first guests on this new podcast, we had to have the guys who created the format that we are very kindly ripping off.
I've had several conversations with them, be like, well, what if we do this movie or that one? And like, Goodfellas was really the one that everyone was like, yeah, that someone needs to do that.
Yeah.
And then eventually it was like, well, can we do that?
So before we get into Goodfellas, Pete, Alex, how did you come up with this format?
Well, it was Pete was a guest on a podcast I used to do called Ink Panthers. And since Pete and I, the one thing I knew we had in common was Star Wars, I said, hey, because I was wanting to talk about Star Wars, but my former podcasting partner, Mike Dawson, wasn't really into it. So he was out one time, so I brought in Pete as a sub, and we talked about Star Wars. And then, clicked. And then Pete came up with the minute by minute, sort of structure to kind of guide, like, as opposed to just us being like, you know who's cool? Bosk.
Yeah.
Well, yes.
But there's no denying that, but you need something more like, a framework to build on.
Well, yeah. Right. And I was actually just talking to Connor the other night, and Connor was saying how watching this minute by minute, is changing the way he looks at the movie. So it's the granular focused approach is really, like it uncovers a lot of things you don't notice when you're just watching the movie regularly. Right.
Yeah. I'm worried now, not doing the whole movie, just watching, the minutes that we were watching for this episode, that now if I go back and watch the movie, I'll just have that bit where I'll be like, oh, I'll be like super attuned to this bit. Right. Like, these 5 minutes that we're going to do.
So from now on, I assume you can't watch movies regularly anymore. You have to tackle all movies 1 minute.
I think
at
that's well. No, if I do watch one like a 1 minute clip repeatedly, sure. Then I have to go watch the whole thing like that. Otherwise,
I got to tell you, there's 5 minutes in each of those three Star Wars movies that have that effect for me.
No, in college, I had to write a paper about the leitmotifs of music in Star Wars. And so I sat down to watch Star Wars, and then the movie finished. I went to write the paper. I'm like, well, I have to watch Empire. And then, well, I have to watch Jedi. And then now it's 6 a.m. and I still haven't written a word. So yeah, anyway. Well, cool. Excellent. So thank you guys for blessing this podcast and coming on the show. We appreciate it. And our listeners, if you haven't listened to Star Wars Minute, go to starwarsminute.com. It's awesome. But do you guys want to get into the Goodfellas?
Let's do it.
All right, we are here for minute 11.
Okay.
It starts with respect, and it ends with a tray of sandwich meats and a room full of Italians playing poker.
It's 11 minutes into the movie, and I am hungry.
This is the second, not counting the pizza oven.
Well, we've had pizza, we've had cold cuts, we've had sausages. Yep. Yeah, it's been great.
It's a large part of the Italian experience. It's just, eating with other people around.
And meats on plates and on spreads of meats. I mean, I grew up with antipasto and all that sort of stuff. Like, you always had meat everywhere. Yeah.
You know, they should do a screening of Goodfellas and have, like, a six-course meal that, like, corresponds to things you're eating in the movie. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's a good idea. I'd eat that.
They just bring out whatever. But so this part, they would just bring out, like, gabagool and mortadelle and stuff like that.
Yeah, and a man who'd been charred in a pizza oven.
Sure.
Poor mailman. So this minute contains what I believe, Josh, is one of your favorite scenes or moments.
They're all.
Well, yes. But.
Yeah, no, it's real. I found that even in the 11 minutes that we've done so far. But this is one that comes up a lot. We'll get to that in just a second. So let's start at the beginning.
The cliffhanger. We finished on Friday with a cliffhanger.
Yeah. So we come in on one of those famous freeze frames, and really one of the most sort of iconic. You know, the world burns behind young Henry as he explodes.
Ooh, look at the film major.
Yeah, a parking lot full of cars.
Well, also I was wondering if, because Marty loves his Catholic and Christian imagery. The fact that it freeze frames on like. Henry on like a Jesus-y kind of crucifixion pose. Do you think there's anything in that? I certainly don't see, Henry as as a Christ figure, but it is interesting that he froze it right on that thing where he was in the same pose. So,
well, this was right after Last Temptation of Christ, right? So maybe force of habit left
he
over.
Couldn't help it.
He's like, okay, Jesus pose. And the guy was
now
like,
we're,
what? Okay.
We're going to be looking for crucifixions all over this movie now.
Yeah.
I wonder if they used a stuntman for Henry or if that's actually young Henry. Just run away from the fire. Just run.
Well, it's interesting because if this was now, then it would just be CGI and that would be it. But. Sad if somebody run in front of a big explosion.
I'm looking at it. I'm pretty sure it's the kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Well, they also, I'm sure, do tricks with focus to make it seem like he's closer to it than he really is.
The Marty focus game. Yeah.
Have you guys already gone into young Henry and his back to the actors? Anything about the actor?
It's not good.
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit him. I think it was last week. Yeah, and about how he didn't act after this for like 20 years because he got beat up a lot.
Right.
You should try to have him on the show.
Yeah.
Is he in New York? Is he local?
Oh, I don't know.
I think so.
Yeah. He must be. Or at least was at one time.
Yeah. I think at this time he was. Did you guys talk about the fact that he's 6'4" now?
No.
I saw that on a thing and I was like, wow. Later we'll talk about somebody else who's not 6'4".
Yes.
does he still have dreamy Ray Liotta eyes? Because that was really the main thing about
He just borrowed each take. He had to just borrow Ray's eyes and put them in, and then as soon as he was, all right, kid, give me the eyes back. I can't see. All I smell is gabagool.
That was literally the craft service table. Just looked like that at the beginning of this. And when we move on, we cut to outside of 32nd Street in Astoria, or East New York, as it were. Henry's new gangster suit.
Which his mother does not like at all.
No.
Yeah, immediately. Which is odd because she's Italian.
Now, the thing is that if the kid's like 14, it looks a little weird. Like, I get it, the suits and the style and stuff like that. But like, for some reason, it does stand out as preposterous.
Kids do that.
Well, 14 in the, in the 50s. Yeah. Is this 50s at this point?
It's more like it's like 27 today.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, do you think it's the suit or is it like what it represents and that he's becoming, like she says, you look like a gangster.
Oh, yeah. No,
it'd be like him coming home with like a brown shirt on and being like, hey, I joined up with these cool guys.
They're Italian.
He just brought up Nazism for the first time. and that real for me is a mark of.
Interesting. Good. You went Nazi. I went
he
Mussolini.
Always goes Nazi.
I went Mussolini.
Yeah.
Right. Well,
Anyway.
Thank you for bringing that to my show.
I have a note that Henry's mom is played by Supreme Court Justice Elena Kagan.
That is uncanny.
No, it's Elaine Kagan, actually. Oh, sorry.
So the very first time that we heard the word gangster was way back 8 or 9 minutes ago, and it was a good thing. I always wanted to be a gangster. Here, his mother, all of a sudden it occurs to her that he's been hanging around with these people who are clearly, she knows what they are, and they're across the street from her house, and he looks like a gangster.
Well, no, but the thing is, his mother was thrilled he got the job at the cab stand because they were from the same town as in Sicily. So
is it only that he looks like a gangster?
Yeah.
Or is it that he is a gangster, or that he's, you know, on that path?
It's a fine line. It's a fine line of what is acceptable and what isn't.
Because it's about appearance versus
reality.
Yeah.
Well, right. Then there's probably also a certain, there's mob guys, and then there's like mob guys like assistants and valets, and you know, you can work
right
for the mafia without being in the mafia. You
right.
Know what
so
I mean?
Like that's so, okay as long as, I mean, because everybody
whoa,
was
whoa,
into
whoa,
it
whoa,
somehow.
Wait, hold on, hold on. I hate to interrupt, but there's Alex, there's no such thing as the mafia.
Oh, no, I know. Oh, I just meant it like in fiction, in movies and stuff.
Hypothetically,
you know?
Right, yeah. Okay.
It's like within the context of this fictional movie.
Sure,
it's like,
right, exactly.
Like the Galactic Empire, how there's engineers and stuff who work for the Galactic Empire who might not be behind the same policies that the Emperor's behind. Yeah.
Look at you. You look like a stormtrooper.
Yeah, exactly. You look like a Death Squad commander.
So, yeah, so we get a brief glimpse of Henry's new suit that we never see again in Young Henry, by the way. He goes immediately back to his street clothes. And then we get a shocking scene of a man with a bloody hand running by a bunch of nuns and children.
Another great Schoonmaker smash cut.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Gangster. Boom. There's the effect of gangsters right there. But theoretically, right. Maybe he just was an industrial accident.
Yeah, we never found out who this person was and who shot him and why. You assume that he's part of the crew and he's going back to the home place or whatever, but we never see this guy before or after.
Well, that's
I think he just got shot.
So why would he go there then?
I don't know. He fell on the steps.
So
he just nearby.
Yeah.
So we're going to assume he's not part of the crew, because if he had been part of the crew, he wouldn't have gone there. He would have known where to go. And theoretically, the guys in the crew would have taken care of one of their own.
Right. Yeah.
Would they have?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the point, though, right?
Unless he was getting ousted, kind of. But then I think they would have done it a lot more secretly
lightly,
and quietly.
They don't lightly injure you.
So, so the guy comes screaming, they shot me, and Henry goes to help him, but, like, there's no recognition, and Tootie doesn't go, you know, hey, what are you doing, Steve? Get out of there. There's no – that's why I don't think he's with them.
Steve Valnamiglia.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. You think it was just sheer coincidence that a guy got shot and happened to stumble into a mob-run pizza parlor?
Yes.
I guess it's possible.
I mean, because then we see Henry help him, and he wraps the bloody hand with the aprons, and then an ambulance comes. Like, if it was one of the mob guys, he goes to the back, and they've got a mob doctor who's going to do it.
Well, maybe this is like what Henry was. Maybe this is the guy who ran the cigarette store that they, he was just a civilian, again, who worked for the mob without actually being a mobster. So, like, he just assumed he was protected. So when he got shot, he just went there and just started, like, blabbing about it, as opposed to, like, more covert channels. Yeah.
He could just be kind of a, on the end of a protection thing or something, and he refused to pay, and, something where he's not going along with it. And, he's an associate, but not at all involved in the whole structure.
Well, his civilian status would explain his crybabiness about getting shot.
Right.
Like, my God, man. man up. If you're a mobster, they're not collapsing. In
guy
pain.
His age too would have been in the war. One of them. He would have been in World War II or in Korea.
Yeah.
Not necessarily. I mean, if he could have, flat feet.
Might.
Oh yeah.
Might. Or maybe his mob connections got him out of serving.
Yeah. Yep. Could they do that? Were they that good then?
I have to think that
then more so than now. Yeah.
Well, there's a rise and fall theoretically.
Right.
So let's get to why we all showed up to this scene. As far as I'm concerned.
Not here for Bleeding Man.
No, we're here for Tootie's relative human life value. Okay. Tootie Cicero values aprons far more than human life. and he can't have it.
I can't have it.
Can't have it.
No man is worth 8 fucking aprons.
Right. You wasted 8 fucking aprons. You're a real jerk.
Okay, and which brings us to the fact that that's a pretty low-key insult. Out of all the things that they've said to each other in this movie, he must have a shine on for Henry, because all he really called them was a real jerk.
But the thing is that I feel like the juxtaposition between the use of profanity and cursing and saying awful things, and then he comes through, like, the way he says you're a real jerk, like, it's a dagger. Like, it, like, he's pissed, and he's so pissed he's not cursing.
I can see that.
Mm. Yeah.
I can see that, but he's also teaching him. It's like his little brother, so he's,
right,
you know, he's holding him back. You're real. Eight aprons, though.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk, what do you think the relative value of an apron was in 1956?
Well, I mean, we'll see how much an apron is now.
I mean, in bulk, let's say. We're buying them maybe $2 each. And as we'll see in the upcoming, some other stuff this week, money doesn't seem to be an issue.
Right.
So it's really more about...
It's the principle, though.
Yeah,
but clearly. It's having the aprons. You know, now he's down 8 fucking aprons, and what is he gonna? You know,
yeah. He's got to put an order in.
Just wear a dirty apron for a little while.
You can't use those again.
No,
the blood's not coming out.
They went to the hospital with him, I think.
Well, so here's another thing I've been thinking is that Tootie Cicero, brother of Capo. I think he's a Capo, Paulie Cicero.
Yeah. Yes.
Now he is a gangster, and he also runs phone messages for Paulie. In addition to other stuff that he does. And he runs the pizza place. Does he, like, make pizza and deal with, like, the pizzas, like, books?
No, no. I think he's handling the cheese and the deliveries, and he's not making pizza. He's just running the joint.
But that's a hard job.
Yeah, sure.
In addition to his crime work.
Hey, listen, you can never say the Italian Americans weren't enterprising.
Sure.
These guys are a great example. They're spinning plates. They've got projects. They've got various different businesses they're running. They were very busy entrepreneurial type.
You guys
folk.
Are going to find that the way that Ron paints the Italian American criminal is quite sympathetic.
I'm just saying they're misunderstood. That's all.
Yeah. No, I'm on board with that. You know, the amount of work that they seem to be able to put into not having to do any work is impressive.
Yeah.
They hustle.
Work their way up and risk their lives in order to get a job, you know, no-show job.
Yeah. And to, like, keep all those plates spinning and to keep themselves out of jail.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem worth it.
It's not easy. It's not easy.
No, I think.
Well, I mean, but that's the thing. It becomes a vicious cycle. I mean, that's the story. Like, we see it as this whole movie, proceeds, is that they've got, you know, all these things going on, and they're just trying to keep up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but eight aprons. So there you go.
Eight.
And what would have not been too many?
Four. I feel like four. Been... Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
It depends on how big the packages are they come in. Like, are they six to a package? Are they eight to a package?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
We weren't getting them from China at that time, so they were probably cost more per item.
These are real American-made aprons.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or at least Italian, Sicilian-made aprons.
Yeah. Probably busted unions sewing them.
I like that we're focusing on the aprons and not the, I can't have that here, which I feel is the more important note,
here's the question that I have. Yeah. Can he not have it there because it's, like, messing up his pizza man day?
No,
and it's using up his aprons, or that's
it's too public. It's too public. You can't have a crowd looking at the pizza place. The guy that got shot. You don't want that attention.
But we've already talked about, like, earlier, for example, they shoved a man in that pizza oven,
and there was a kid in the joint. There was a little boy,
and the boss came and watched. So I don't feel like that propriety. Yeah. Is really their issue. I think it's just, this is a hassle. I don't want to deal with this.
Potentially. Mm.
I don't feel like he's worried about the legal repercussions of it.
Yeah.
Because that guy just came in. They can't do anything about that.
Yeah.
I think he's mostly upset about the aprons.
Yeah, or the blood. Like, he didn't want to clean up the blood either. Or have somebody clean up the blood. Right?
Something a real jerk would do. Henry didn't bring him in or anything. He just refused to turn him away.
Right.
That's what he did wrong. He helped him. Can't have that.
So, an additional note, the song in this scene is an Italian song, Firenze Sogna by Giuseppe Di Stefano. So there you go, if you're curious what the song is.
Apparently, Scorsese was very specific when it came to the music. Have you guys been talking about the music?
Yeah, we're highlighting every song as it emerges and trying to, whatever we can find out about it.
Okay. Because it also apparently had to deal with what was going on somewhat, like, it had to tie into the scene as well as being period specific, is what I read.
You did more research than I did. So good job.
I just came across it while doing research for the song. We get the beginning of a song at the end of this when we see the lunch meets.
Yeah, yeah. We'll talk about that next episode.
Okay.
Yeah. I actually have a Connor has provided a fun fact for us for next tomorrow's episode. So yeah.
Just one last thing about the bloody aprons guy.
Bleeding man.
Our mutual friend Tony Consiglio, who would be a fantastic guest on this podcast, works in a kitchen, and he was witness to a horrible accident where a guy was carrying a tray full of knives and bobbled them and, like, unthinkingly tried to catch the knives with his hand.
Oh, dear God.
And his hands got, sliced up to, like, ribbons. And the guy's like, and, like, everyone's running around helping him and stuff. And
how many aprons?
Well, then the funny thing Tony said, 6 fucking aprons we wasted on that guy. Like, he actually had the presence of mind to quote the scene, you know, because Tony's, like, vaguely sociopathic, so he doesn't really care that the guy's getting, getting hurt. But
I don't know how you could not do that. I mean, like, yeah. It would be going on, and I would be averting my eyes and trying not to vomit, but I would still be like, aprons?
So you'd be like, okay, when should I say it? When should
when
I say the line?
When is it okay to do this? Because I don't know how to not do. Am I going to do this?
Yeah. At the very least, you'll tell your wife when you get home.
Yeah,
Anyway, moving on to the next scene.
So yeah, so we cut to a spread of meat as Henry is making a sandwich, and then the camera follows him somewhat as he walks through the basement casino and a sitting tootie smoking. Yeah, tootie. And then he very gallantly delivers the sandwich.
Yeah.
Did you pick up on that? He was like, sir, your sandwich. Like, it was very strange.
Pretty into his job.
Yeah, yeah.
He's pretty happy about it.
It goes back to the beginning of the minute, you know, respect. Yeah. So he had to, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It flows upwards.
Yep.
I'm guessing that's real good meat.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Way
oh,
no, better than what you get in, like, a supermarket or even, like, a high-end deli at this point. That's going to be good meat there.
No, here's the thing. You go, when that cut starts, pause it. The Italian bread on the left of the frame?
Yeah, why didn't they go with that?
That's some good bread. That was,
I was noticing.
Yeah.
Instead, he's putting mustard on, like, a slice of rye or something.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah,
like,
exactly,
oh, come on, man. What are you doing in that sandwich?
Well, he's half Irish, so.
Yeah, that's a good point. I was going to say. Some of these people, they don't know what they don't know how good they've got it, but that's probably
they're animals.
Yeah. That half Irish side can't taste a damn thing.
Okay. Anybody else have anything else on this minute?
Well, I wanted to update the. I'm not sure if you guys are keeping a count of F bombs because apparently
that's Connor's job. Since he's not here, you can fill in. So there you go.
Okay. So we had one here because of the fucking aprons, and it's you know, apparently it's around two times a minute, so we're below average.
Oh, that's a great
this
scene.
Was a genteel minute.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, we're still in the golden, like, everything's great.
Oh yeah, no, and then when in tomorrow's episode, the next minute we talk about how glorious of a time it was. So yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. that's yeah. I don't want to ruin it. So that will do it for minute 11. You can tune in tomorrow for minute 12. That comes after 11 normally. Until then, check us out on Twitter at GoodfellasMin and on Instagram at GoodfellasMinute. And you can find all of our episodes at GoodfellasMinute.com. If you like comic books, make sure to check out our site, iFanboy.com, with our weekly podcast there. Obviously, you want to check out, you want to tell them about your two podcasts?
Yeah, where can they find your guys' stuff?
Well, our main thing is on hiatus right now, which is Star Wars Minute at StarWarsMinute.com.
Star Wars Minute. Oh, sorry.
There'll be occasional episodes trickling through, but we also do an alphabetical trip through the Beatles catalog called Alphabetical, which is at alphabetical.com. Mm-hmm.
Well, very good. So, in the meantime, I am Josh Flanagan.
I'm Ron Richards. And we never really discussed how we handled guests saying goodbye, so Goodfellas Minute.
Bye, everybody.
Fellas.
Goodbye, guests.
Or will I go from rags to riches? My fate is up to you.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means, and I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert-extrovert thing, and some people, you know, like, they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away, and, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.